Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody. I hope you can hear me okay. I believe you can. I am coming to you from the cab of an Enterprise rental truck that we picked up to clean out a home in Northern Virginia, which we started yesterday, and we are literally in the process of doing it as we speak. I am here with my buddy June, who is a great worker, who is going to handle a bunch of stuff single-handedly in the next hour so I can keep doing this radio show. But we are headed to the Montgomery County dump in Montgomery County, Maryland, which I have come to appreciate, as I've used these guys for 20 years, the situation that I have in this county is really pristine, because I have a fabulous dump facility, and within about 5 miles of that, I have two scrap metal yards, one recycling center, the county dump, and everything just flows really, and a Goodwill. So everything just flows really smoothly, and I can get rid of stuff and do what I kind of need to do pretty much wherever I need to do it, right here in one shot, in the same area, basically. And that's just a great thing for any business person. So I'm having a lot of fun doing this. We are cleaning out a house in Northern Virginia using one of these 2024 house clean out vouchers, which I made 24 of these available on basically on January 1st of this year. And the idea is you get up to 5 truckloads of stuff hauled away, which normally is $6.95 a truckload, and 5 times those babies is about $3,500. But we're doing it for $2,024 for the first 24 people that buy it. So we're having some fun. I've gone around the country doing these. I'm going to tell you a little bit about those experiences a little bit later in the show. And we've got some kind of fun stuff happening with this current job that I'm also going to fill you in on. Right now, shout out to the boys at PayPal, as I'm just going in and transferring some money from PayPal over to a card so that my buddy can actually, look like we're good, can go in and make the payment for the dump that he's about to do, while I stay inside the truck and take care of talking to you wonderful folks. So I hope you had a good week. Hope things have been great. Things have been busy on our end. I have gone to, since the last radio show, 2 weeks ago when I interviewed my buddy Lindsey Parker about fishing all over the world and a lot of the cool things that he does, I have been to Scottsdale, Arizona, Brunswick, Maine, actually Harpswell, Maine, which I'll tell you a little bit about. I was in Chicago on Monday of this week cleaning out a storage unit, and I'll tell you about some of those experiences and some of the things I've learned doing that. But I have literally been going around the country with people buying this deal, basically, getting jobs done all across the board with all kinds of stuff going on. So And the cool thing is I sit here in my truck doing a national radio show, and while I'm doing that, I can go into PayPal, send money over to a checking account, use that to pay for the dump fees, and I mean, is this an amazing world or what? It's really kind of cool. So the most exciting part of this job that we're doing right now, where we have a French lady who is the renter. She needs to move out because the homeowner wants to sell the house. This is in Centerville, Virginia. So the lady's wonderful daughter is here from Flagstaff, Arizona, who is kind of taking charge of this. And her other daughter is also here. I don't know where the other daughter is from, but the daughter number one contacted us and bought our deal, and we have hauled yesterday and today. We're just hauling out our third 16-foot box truck of stuff, some of which we've taken to Goodwill, most of which we've taken to the dump. Some of it we've still got on the truck because we're probably going to put it up for sale, including a treadmill and a dryer. And some of it, scrap metal, we'll be taking over to the scrap metal yard after we get done at the dump, which is where we're about two blocks away from right now. So we are having some fun doing this. But the kicker in this deal, the wild card, if you will, is a 2007 Chevy Trailblazer SUV, four-wheel drive, LS Sport, that has been sitting on the property for 4 years. It has 161,000 miles on it. It belongs to the lady's son, and he has not used it in 4 years. And the son just said, here, I'll sign the title and have the junk removal guys just haul it off. So I got picking up a car today, basically. In fact, I just dropped off the key to the tow truck driver because the car doesn't have any license plates on it. It's been idle for 4 years. And part of what happens in our business is that sometimes you go into a home and you haul away, you know, some jewelry, and you sell the jewelry and you make some money. Sometimes you walk out with golf clubs and furniture and exercise equipment. You sell that and you make some money. And maybe a dozen times that I've done this, almost maybe about once a year, almost once a year, somebody's got a car they need to get rid of. So the car, like I said, has been sitting for 4 years, and we just went in and started it. I got a new battery this morning, started it up. It runs like a top. I mean, it's really smooth and quiet, and it's a really good situation. So the tow truck driver is going to go pick it up and haul it off and bring it over to kind of my neighborhood, where we'll get it inspected and we'll see just what kind of shape this is in. But so far, so good. I replaced the battery this morning, and it runs like a top, very quiet, very clean, really a good situation. So I'm going to do something I haven't done before when I've been on the show. This tow truck driver is calling in, and I am going to, I guess I'm going to have to call him back somehow. Tell you what, can you grab your phone and call my man Jose, and we'll see what he needs. He's probably trying to grab the key, and I'll give you Jose's phone number. So bear with us, folks. I told you this was going to be live here, which it is. So we just dropped off the key to this guy, and there's his number right there. We'll find out what he's calling. He's probably trying to call to figure out where the key is. So my buddy June is going to call him and take care of that call, and we'll see what he needs. So he's going to drive about 40 miles out into Virginia, pick up this SUV, bring it back to a Shell gas station, and my buddy over at the gas station is going to take a look at it, do an inspection, and see what this thing needs. So hopefully it's in good shape and there's no problem. And that's Jose telling us thumbs up. He's got the key and all is well. So, yours truly just picked up or just is about to get an SUV, and as long as it's in decent shape, it seems to be so far, but you never know. 2007 with 161,000 miles on it, if you do the math, That means it's been driven about 9,400 miles a year, which means it's been driven about 26 miles a day in its life. And it hasn't been driven at all in the last 4 years. So I picked up a battery for $130 this morning at Advanced Auto. I picked up for $28 a little small portable air pump that hooks up to your cigarette lighter, and pumped up a couple of tires, replaced the battery, fired right up, and off we go to the races. So I think we're in good shape. We are now pulling into the Montgomery County dump, where these guys do a really good job, and they are good friends of mine because I come here all the time, and they always do me, if I need a favor, they'll do a favor for me. They're just terrific. So I'm going to take you with me as I go up to the front counter, pay the bill. They have a flat rate because they're changing their scale. So I'm going to get an entire 16-foot box truck of stuff dumped for about $54, and that's cheap. That's maybe half price, something like that, compared to what it would normally be. Who's going to pay for it? So anyway, you're with me live at the Montgomery County Transfer Station window, which I'm probably not supposed to be on a cell phone, but I'm kind of hiding it on the side of my body here while I do this. And whammo, we're all paid for, $54.71, and I'm done. How's that for fast? Hey, man. So we will now hop in line and go dump this. And the interesting thing about this dump is if you have a vest and a hard hat, you can go in the fast lane, which we have. Otherwise, you go in what can be the slower lane, and it just takes more time. But my buddy June here, armed with a vest and a hard hat, we'll see here in just a second which line we'll go in. But I have nothing but good things to say about these folks at the Montgomery County dump and the great work that they do. So it looks like the slow line is going to be the better line because it's just shorter, so we're going to go there. Interestingly enough, there's kind of a, I don't know if you call it a social paradigm out here or something, but there's two lanes here to get in what's basically lane three and lane four. Lane three, we just passed about five trucks because the people in lane three, five trucks deep, don't realize they could slide over to the right and use lane four. So we're in pretty good shape now. It'll probably take us 10 or 15 minutes to get into the dump, where June will work his magic and get everything out of the dump while I get to sit in the air-conditioned cab, which is going to be nice. But we'll get this done, and we'll get it dumped, and then it's off to the scrap metal yard, and then it's back to Virginia to grab a few more things, at which time the car will be gone and will be on its way back to Montgomery County, Maryland. So every once in a while in this business, people pay you to take their car. And in the 20 years that I've done this, I've taken cars. I wish I had been, you know, insightful enough to keep all of them and have the garages to put them all in. But I have hauled away classic Cadillac convertibles. I've got a 1976 Chevy Nova. Now, the Chevy Nova was my first car. 1976 is the year I graduated from high school. So I've got a 76 Chevy Nova. I've got an 84 Oldsmobile Toronado, which at the time I got that, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, had 19,000 miles on it. This was a car in Chevy Chase, Maryland, kept in a garage of a 90-year-old woman. And you know how they say that they only drive it to church? Well, this lady wasn't very active in her church, apparently, and just didn't drive the car very much. I thought it was a mistake when I read the mileage. I thought it was maybe 119,000, but it wasn't. There was an oil change receipt in the glove box that was at 18,000 miles that she had it changed. So I've had, I've had some Porsches, some old Porsches. I've had a couple of, and I don't even remember what brand they were, Ford somethings, that have gone through my hands. Most of these, by the way, we sell and then give money back to the homeowner, or we'll donate them. I've even had a couple of cars where we picked them up and they were in such bad shape, we just sent them straight over to the scrap metal yard and they took care of them there. We got about $300 for them. But this car today is a good story because it's just kind of a fun idea to end up with an SUV, right, that somebody's tossing and doesn't want to use. And I'm one of these guys that just loves the idea of getting my hands on something that's been sitting or that no one is using and then try to make it look like the hottest car in town. To me, that recycling project and the work that goes into it is really fun. So I was tempted, to be honest with you, to drive the car from Northern Virginia back to Montgomery County, Maryland. But again, it's about 40 miles and the thing has no license plates on the front or the back. So that's like signing your life away to instant death. And I decided not to do that. So we got the tow truck guy headed out there now to get it and bring it back. And then we'll get it inspected. And as long as there's not a major problem that needs to be addressed, we'll go down and get it registered, and I'll have a new used SUV. So that's one of the benefits of the junk removal business. Every once in a while, you end up with some kind of cool stuff that you weren't expecting. We have hauled 3 16-foot box trucks of stuff out of this house. I will tell you, without telling you who the people are, the lady that is the renter that owns the stuff has rented a 10-foot by 30-foot storage unit and a 10-foot by 10-foot unit to put a bunch of stuff in. Now, folks, I have a couple of storage units that I use to store stuff that I'm holding on to while I put it up for sale. And I'm here to tell you that even in a year's time with 2 storage units, that gets to be expensive. When you've got bigger units and you're putting a whole bunch of stuff in there, and I don't understand, to be honest with you, why there's so much stuff in this house that we've been hauling out, but there just is. This is going to be a very expensive proposition, I think, for these folks who are going to end up probably paying thousands and thousands of dollars to let this stuff sit in a storage unit and never get touched. And it's just the way we think. I mean, it just is. And you hold on to your stuff and there's a temporary place to put it. So you say to yourself, great, we'll put it there. And then 5 years later, you go, oh my gosh, I paid, $40,000 or something to have this stuff sit in a storage unit, or storage units over the last 5 years. And all of a sudden you go, you know what? I'm tired of paying this bill. And then they call us and we go clean the storage unit out and all is well again. That leads me to my Chicago story, which is, we'll kind of do these in reverse order as they happen. I have done shout-outs on this program over a number of months for Frontier Airlines and their Go Wild Pass. I flew Sunday morning of this week. I flew from Washington, D.C. to Denver. And then I had a long layover in Denver. It was like almost a 12-hour layover. I got into Denver about 9 in the morning, and I didn't leave to go to Chicago until about 9 at night. So I'm one of these strange guys that when I'm traveling by myself, I don't mind the layover. And as long as I can find a quiet corner of one of the gates in the airport, I don't mind lying down on the floor using my backpack as a pillow, and I can kind of roll over on my side and whammo, and about 5 minutes I'm asleep. I can actually get some rest even in a busy gate at various airports. So I'm just one of those guys that could do that. But the flight left at 9 o'clock at night, got me into Chicago at about midnight. I had made arrangements to rent a pickup truck the next morning at 8 o'clock. So I spent Sunday night in the Chicago O'Hare Airport, trying to catch some sleep there after spending all day Sunday in the Denver airport. Now, granted, that doesn't sound like fun to a normal person, I'm sure. But when the airfare from Washington, D.C. to Chicago the normal airfare was $550 one way, and I got it for $31. Perhaps you can see why I don't mind spending some time in an airport, and I didn't have to get a hotel. So it cost me $31 to fly from Washington, D.C. to Chicago O'Hare this past Sunday. I ended up in Chicago for about 5 hours doing some work there. I got done. I was cleaning out a storage unit. Didn't have that much that needed to be done. I was able to help an older couple, really nice couple, found us on the internet, got their job done, got the stuff emptied, did two runs to the dump in North Cook County, Chicago, did one run to a scrap metal yard, dashed back to O'Hare, turned the truck in, and was on a 647 flight that night, Monday night, back to Denver, where I spent the night again at the airport, and the next morning at 7 o'clock, I left on a flight to come back to Washington, D.C., and that total airfare coming back was also $31. So I flew to Chicago round trip for $62 this week and saved myself over $1,000 of normal cost that somebody else would have paid to fly at the regular rates. Anyway, think about that one for the next minute while we take a break. We're about 5 minutes away from being in the dump here. All is well. We're in the short line, so this is moving pretty quickly. And my buddy June is about to go out and work his magic while I keep talking to you wonderful folks on the radio show. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook. I'll be back in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook, and we are giving you the insights into the world of a junk removal guy live today as we are in the truck, sitting outside of the dump in Montgomery County, Maryland, where we're about to pull in there, and my buddy June, who is sitting here in the truck with me, is going to work his magic and empty a 16-foot truck full of stuff that we got from a home in Northern Virginia, and then we will take off and go over to the scrap metal yard and work our magic over there, and then we'll head back to Northern Virginia to pick up a few more things, and then I think we will be done with what the ladies want us to do over at this job in Northern Virginia. So we're having some fun. It's a beautiful day in Montgomery County, and I just talked to you about my last trip to do junk removal was to Chicago. I will tell you this, the fee for that job was $2,024. Airfare was $62. There was no hotel cost because I slept at the airport. The rental car cost for one day was about $130. The dump fees were about two times $40, so about $80. And I think when you add it all up, the revenue was something like close to $2,100, and the expenses were around $250. It came out to about $1,850 of profit in one day, including traveling to Chicago and renting a truck to do a junk removal job. And I figured out the profit margin. It was 85.6%. So I wish they were all like that, but I'll go to Chicago every week if you do that for me, right? Who cares? So that happened on Monday. Saturday afternoon. In fact, let's go to last week, and we'll kind of do these in reverse order. I don't know if you've ever been to Brunswick, Maine. I had not spent much time in Maine except a couple of times flying in and out of, I don't even remember the city now that you fly in and out of in Maine. It's not Portland. There's another city. But I would fly in and out of there, you know, coming back from Europe or something like that. And that was about all I spent time in Maine doing. I have a good friend named Simmons whose favorite state in the Union is Maine. And he was kind of envious that I got up there. But some folks up there saw us on the web. They are getting ready to sell their home in Harpswell, Maine, which is one of these beautiful second homes. They bought it about 20 years ago. They lived in Boston. The gentleman is an attorney. His wife, I don't know what she does. She's employed as a professional as well, and I just can't remember what she does. But every weekend, they would go up to this place in Maine. They did it for 20 years, and then they retired and moved up there full time. Now, he's having a few health problems, and it's just kind of a big place. They live on 9 acres, and they want to downsize and just get a smaller place, but also up in the Brunswick, Maine area. Brunswick, Maine, one of the things it's known for is Bowdoin College. And I've been told that anybody in politics in the state of Maine has probably gone to Bowdoin College. If you remember seeing the movie Gettysburg, which I think was filmed back in around the 1990s or so, and I can't remember the name of the man who played the role of Joshua Chamberlain, who was a leader of one of the infantry units from the state of Maine. It was Joshua Chamberlain who basically ordered the Union troops to attack with a bayonet attack the Confederate troops in a very bold move that protected the left flank of the Union Army and basically turned the Battle of Gettysburg in favor of the Union. Joshua Chamberlain was a teacher at Bowdoin College, and there's a statue of him right there in front of the college, and across the street is this brown house that was his home. He later was the president of the college and later was the governor of Maine, was shot 7 times in the Civil War, and was the man who was in charge of the troops at the surrender of the Confederate Army at Appomattox. And when the Confederate Army passed in front of his troops, Joshua Chamberlain ordered his troops to salute the Confederate soldiers. Joshua Chamberlain is a legend in the state of Maine, and especially in Brunswick, Maine, where he was a professor of Bowdoin College. And so all of this Civil War history came back into my memory as I thought back about that movie and saw the movie and was really impressed with the role that this leader from Maine played. I didn't realize that it was a Bowdoin College professor that we were talking about. So I was back there last week for about 3.5 days cleaning out a house. When you go from Bethesda, Maryland up to Brunswick, Maine, or Harpswell, Maine, that's a 9-hour drive. That's just short of 600 miles. And I left Sunday afternoon. The airfares, I guess because of the timing and towards the end of April and college graduation and stuff, I'm not sure. But even my cheap flights on Frontier, who flies into Portland, Maine, were not available. My cheap airfare was not available. I could have booked a very expensive airfare for like $1,000 one way, but I didn't want to do that, of course. That kills all the profitability. So I just put some gas in the car, figured it would cost me about $125 to drive up there, took my pickup truck up there, and then just kind of prayed all the way up there that the dump that I would be using would be somewhere close to Harpswell, Maine, where these folks live. Now, the odds of that being the case are not good. Usually, you've got to go into a big city and find the local dump, and then you can do your thing there. But in this case, speaking of dumps, my man June is now going to do his thing. Just let me know if you got any questions, bud. He is going to empty this truck while I get to sit here in the air-conditioned truck and tell you stories. So anyway, this is you're getting the life of a junk removal guy live today, and it's kind of fun. So anyway, I drove my truck up. I figured it would be about $130 of gas each way. And I went up there, and on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I did this job by myself. And come to find out that the city of Harpswell has their transfer station or their dump literally half a mile from the house that I was cleaning out. So I cleaned out the basement, a two-car garage, a separate large shed about the size of a one-car garage, and a smaller shed by myself between Monday and about Thursday lunchtime. The thing I didn't realize is that on Monday, this little dump in Harpswell is closed. So I would do some work and get things ready and then drive half a mile and oops, they're closed. And the next closest place is in Portland, Maine, which is about 45 minutes away and is more expensive. And I thought, well, I'll just get stuff ready on Monday and I'll make a bunch of runs on Tuesday. So that's what I did. Tuesday, I would load up the pickup truck. I'm just one of these guys that has a lot of adrenaline and a lot of energy, and I'm a goal setter. So when I kind of set a goal to complete something, I just kind of focus on it and do it. And these folks were dumbfounded that I was doing this on my own and that it was actually working. But it did work, and it worked well. So I had fun with it. I got the job done. I called my 94-year-old mother before I went up there. 93 years old, I'm sorry. I called her, and I said, hey, I'm headed to Maine, and I didn't know beans about Maine when I left. And her only advice was, get a lobster dinner while you're up there. And I thought, great advice. Well, I thought I would get it Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, but I was so tired from working by myself each of those days nonstop from about 9 till 5 or 6 that I went back to the hotel and just crashed at the hotel and tried to get, 10 or 12 hours of sleep before I went out the next day and did the same thing again. Well, it worked, but I never got the lobster dinner. So on Thursday afternoon when I had the job all done, 9-hour drive, and knowing that I had to leave Sunday morning to go to Chicago, that means I'm only going to be in Washington, D.C. Friday and Saturday, and I've got hundreds of customers here. So I'm kind of anxious to get back to Washington. So the lady, when I was all done and they were stunned at kind of what happened, and as I did each of these different areas, I swept the floors out, and I joked that when I cleaned out their outdoor garage, kind of this large shed kind of garage area, I swept up the floor. I said, that looks like a Picasso. I need to sign that thing. That's just so clean. So we joked about that. But they were very impressed with how clean it was, and it worked, and I was able to do it with my own truck, so there's no truck rental. I would use points from my Wyndham hotel stays to book hotels. In this case, instead of using all the points for the room, I would just use some of the points, and I'd get a discounted rate. So that saves money there. The dump fees were $40 to dump a pickup truck of stuff. There are places in the country where you go in with a pickup truck and the minimum charge is $192 or $90 or whatever. Harpswell, Maine, it's like, hey, come on by, we're nice folks, and it'll be about $40. And you gotta love a transfer station like that. The other interesting thing about Harpswell is about 5 miles south of Brunswick, Maine, and I learned on the last day I was there that it's basically a place where a lot of professors and retired professors from Bowdoin College love to live. So I'm kind of surrounded by a bunch of really smart folks, and they've got their own transfer station, which I loved. The scrap metal, however, had to go back to Portland, Maine, and I took a couple of loads back there, which I didn't mind because I was working so hard. I enjoyed the 45-minute ride where I got to just, kick back and relax a little bit. But the last day I was there, the lady, as I walked into kind of, you do a job after 3.5 days and you walk in, it's kind of like the exit interview or the wrap-up moment or something. I walk in there and she said, did you ever get your lobster dinner? And again, I'm, dirty and sweating and wearing clothes that are dirty and whatever. And I said, no, I didn't. She said, well, we'd like to take you out for dinner tonight. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, that would be really, really nice, but I look like crap, and I don't want to, you know, embarrass you folks by going out to a public place looking this bad. But really, and I didn't tell him this, I need to get on the road and get back to Washington so I can go to work tomorrow morning on Friday and work on Saturday and get a bunch of stuff done. You know, time is limited before I have to take off to Chicago. So she said to me, when I told her I would take a rain check on the dinner, which I did, and I'm going to go back up there because I can fly into Portland cheap and take my buddy with me who loves that state of Maine, and he would, I think, really get a kick out of going up there and having some dinner, and maybe we go up on the train, take the Amtrak train right into Brunswick. But I think he would probably get a kick out of that as well. But I told her I'll take a rain check on the dinner, and she said, we have this beautiful place out on the water that we'd love to take you. Well, this area of Maine has a whole bunch of these little peninsulas that kind of jut out into the Atlantic Ocean, and Harpswell is on one of those, and it is such a scenic, beautiful country with these tall pine trees. You got inlets coming right and left. You know, all the wildlife that you would expect up in the northern part of the United States, and lobster cages all over the place that people are using, you know, to catch lobster. But this dump at Harpswell, Maine, lets people go in and be pickers of stuff. And so about every other time that I pulled into that dump, there was some older gentleman in there scrounging through a dumpster or going through the metal or going through the wood pile looking for stuff that he wanted to take with him. And I asked the lady about this inside the booth there at the dump, and she said, oh, yeah, we let pickers come here whenever they want to, and, you know, it's a small community, and we're not too worried about regulation and rules, and, you know, we work with people. She goes, the problem is the pickers sometimes get in the way of the people trying to dump the stuff. And, you know, that can be a problem. And so we worry about that all the time. And sometimes they tend to bug the people that are here dumping their stuff. So speaking of dumping stuff, my buddy just threw off something that is made of yellow brass, which is kind of nice if you go to a scrap metal yard. I'm hopping out of the truck to rescue this little guy. Throw it back on the truck. Just so he's got it. There you go. It's going great. Noisy here, you can probably tell. And you're not supposed to be on a cell phone in this area, but hey, we'll pass on that rule for right now. So I'm back in the truck. Anyway, saves the yellow brass. But they let pickers go into the Harpswell main dump, pick whatever they want. I'm just kind of amazed. I saw people in there with SUVs jammed full of stuff. And I'm telling you, the stuff that was in there was crap. But, you know, they say one man's trash is another man's treasure. Well, some of these folks honestly are having the time of their life going through other people's junk and saying to themselves, hey, this is cool. I mean, I'm doing that with a car today, so I get it. I understand. And some of the things that I dumped at this little dump from my customer's home were being picked up by pickers and taken with them in their SUVs. So I guess everybody wins. I do want to tell you, and I'll tell you this story when I get back. It's amazing what you learn from just what I'm going to call everyday, run-of-the-mill, average people who are doing exceptional things that you would have no clue they're doing unless they opened up and told you a little bit about that. The lady that works at the Harpswell, Maine landfill is one of those people. I don't remember her name, but when I get back from the break, I'm going to tell you what I learned from this lady and what I observed while I was there in Harpswell at this wonderful little landfill that my client told me before I got up there. She said, oh, we have the most lovely landfill here that's just a really cute place. You know, it's like and she described it like a store you'd walk in and buy candles from or something. But it's a dump It's the landfill. She said, it's just a really cute and lovely little, she used the word lovely. It's a lovely little place. Well, she was exactly right. And when I come back, I'll tell you about the lady who works there and a very cool thing that she's doing that is a lesson for all of us. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm coming to you live from inside the transfer station at the Montgomery County dump, which if they are listening to this show live, they may ask me not to come back. No, that was a joke, but who knows? Anyway, we're in good shape. June's doing a great job. I'm in the air-conditioned truck. Life couldn't be better. I'm just picking up a free SUV that is coming my way later this afternoon. And we'll be back here in about 60 seconds. I'm your host, Alan Cook.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook. Every once in a while, when we do these episodes, we do one live from like on the job, and that's what's happening today because frankly we're busy and we don't want to just, you know, not do the show because we love doing the show and love telling our stories about what happens in the world of junk removal. So right now I am sitting in an air-conditioned cab of a rental truck at the Montgomery County dump in Montgomery County, Maryland, which a former girlfriend of mine who had a lot of class and flew out here from Utah and spent a week working with me, going around doing junk removal jobs. If you can imagine a cute, petite, gorgeous young lady, you know, putting on a company T-shirt and a baseball cap and going around into the dumps of the area, throwing stuff away. That's real devotion right there. I tell you, I have always admired that about her. She came in here with me a couple times and labeled it the postcard dump. She goes, this is a postcard dump, man. You guys should sell postcards. This place has run so well. But they really do a great job. I've come to appreciate that. I've used them for 20 years. And they're only a couple of miles from two different scrap metal yards, from a Goodwill, and from a recycling center. It's all like right here within about 5 miles. The rates are very inexpensive. We can dump an entire 16-foot box truck of stuff for $54.71, and that's because their scales that they weigh you in on are being replaced right now. So they're trying to set up a system where they don't have to have people weigh in and then weigh out so they can get trucks in and out faster because there's a bottleneck at the scales because some of those scales are not being used right now because they're being replaced. So I guess they took the average bill for a box truck like this one and figured out that on average, whether it's full or very little full, people paid $54.71 on average to dump their truck. And so that's the flat fee that you pay if you want to, or you can still weigh in and then weigh out. So the smart move is to load up your truck with as much junk as you can, as heavy as you can. You go across the scale once, you pay $54.71 on a credit card, and whammo, you're out the door. And that's what we're doing here. And I'm looking right now at probably 30 trucks, big vehicles, little vehicles, lined up to come into the dump. And we're just here with my buddy June in the back doing all the hard work, emptying this truck that we just loaded in Northern Virginia. But back to Harpswell, Maine, where I was last week doing a job, I went into the little Harpswell transfer station, and this older lady was in there, kind of running the show, and it is not a place that is bustling with dozens and dozens of trucks because it's a smaller transfer station on the peninsula, one of the peninsulas, beautiful peninsulas of Maine. But as I walked in on, I don't know, let's say visit number six or something, she's got a book there that she's kind of reading when times are slow. I'm going to call it a mystery series. I can't remember the exact series it was, but I just happened to ask her about the book. And she said, oh, this is a book that I'm reading. It's this author, I forget who the author was, has done a series of these. And she goes, let me show you. And she walks across the office, picks up a printout, a little computer printout, brings it back to me, and shows me this sheet of paper. It has two columns of book titles on it, all written by this same author. I think it was over 60 books that he's written, and she has read 54 of them, and she crosses them off as she reads them, and she goes, here, this book right here, I've only got six more to go, and I will have read the whole series. And I was amazed. I just sat there and thought, what a brilliant idea for somebody who, I'm going to guess she's in her 70s, works at a county dump, weighs people in the scale, off the scale, you know, et cetera. And in the meantime, is an animal reading through this series of books. And she's read like 54 out of 60 of this author's books. And I went, man, you're a radio show. You really are. This is a great example to people of how to use your time. And she was so into this series. I wish I could remember what the name of the author was or the series. But all I remember is it was a gentleman, and he's written about 60 books. That's all I remember. And she was so into this series and so proud of what she was doing that you just instantly become a fan of what she's doing. And it's a great lesson for everybody to be a reader, you know, and get involved in something that turns you on as you read, and go read it, for heaven's sakes. And she was having such a great time doing this. So I'm up there in Harpswell, Maine. I get an invitation to go out on the water, or by, I think what they mean is we're going to go to a place that's right next to the water that has great lobster. And I took them up on a rain check on that one. And when I eventually go up there and take them up on that dinner and spend a day or two back in Maine, I will let you know and I'll tell you all about it. But I'm very excited to go do that. And it is now Thursday, about 5 o'clock. I drove up Sunday night, 600 miles. I've been there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, half day Thursday. The clients are thrilled with what's been done. They're very happy with it. All is well. And it's now time to get back to Washington. And the only problem is it's another 600 miles to get back, which is about 9 hours on the road. So she asked me, or she said before, after I told her I'll take a rain check on the dinner, she said, please don't tell me that you're going to drive back tonight. And I just kind of dodged the question, because the truth is I was driving back that night, but I didn't want to tell her. So I just kind of dodged the question and said something like, oh, that would be kind of crazy. But I did. I left. I got my truck, and I headed back. And a nine-hour drive, I stopped twice on the way back at some rest areas or truck stops, and basically reclined the seat in my pickup truck and tried to sleep for an hour or two. So I got maybe an hour of sleep at one rest stop. I got 2 hours of sleep at another one. I got back to Montgomery County, Maryland, about 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And at 9 o'clock, I was out doing jobs with the same pickup truck in the Washington, D.C. area. Now, that is kind of insane, I mean, when you think about it. But that's what entrepreneurs with a lot of energy and enthusiasm for what they're doing will do, at least what I'll do. And I was able to spend, I think I did 4 jobs on Friday back in Washington. And I did maybe 2 or 3 jobs on Saturday morning. But I love to go to either the Baltimore Orioles baseball games or the Washington Nationals baseball games. I kind of live in the middle of those two stadiums geographically. And I love to go to their bobblehead games. Well, the Baltimore Orioles, who are a pretty hot team the last couple of years, had a bobblehead night going on at 4:05 in the afternoon on Saturday. So I bought a cheap ticket to that, and I wanted to go to the baseball game. So I did. I went to the ball game on Saturday afternoon. They played the Oakland Athletics. They won 7-0. It was great. I buy the cheap tickets, I get the bobblehead, all is well, and I collect these bobbleheads. And I came back home, and I got some sleep Saturday night, and Sunday morning at 7 a.m., I'm on a flight to Denver to eventually go to Chicago to clean out a storage unit on Monday. So that's kind of my life in the last 2 weeks or so. And it's just nonstop, but I'm telling you, it's one of the funnest things I've ever done. And, you know, I've told a couple of people in the last week that Warren Buffett, who is a friend of mine, Warren's would go around and speak to college students at universities around the country. And people would always ask him, you know, what do you suggest for a career? And this is obviously one of the wealthiest men and one of the wealthiest people on the planet. And he would sum up his advice in four words. He would say, do what you love. And that was his advice. And he went to Columbia University to get a master's degree. I think it was in economics because Benjamin Graham was there, who was kind of the father of value investing, and he wanted to learn from Benjamin Graham and David Dodd. So he didn't go there to get a master's degree to pad a resume. He went there to learn from two of the best in the business, Ben Graham and David Dodd. And they wrote a book called The Intelligent Investor. And it is a great book to read if you're into stocks and bonds and investing. And it basically sums up a lot of the philosophies that Warren started out using and I think still uses to a great degree in his business as a 93-year-old money manager. So anyway, a quick comment about that. But my buddy June is still in the back of the truck emptying it out of stuff that he and I loaded out in Centerville, Virginia. There's a tow truck driver who somewhere around now is arriving at the house and is going to pick up a 2007 Chevy Trailblazer LS Sport four-wheel drive SUV, which the son of the lady who is renting the house and hired us to clean out the house, the son has not used in 4 years and does not want anymore. And all I knew about it when they said, he asked me, you know, can you take care of getting this car off the lot? And I said, yeah. He signed the title and gave it to his sister, who then gave it to me. And I got a set of keys and I got a signed title. That's all I need. And the problem is it doesn't have license plates on the front or the back. So you can't just, of course, drive it on the freeway 45 miles to get it back to where I live. So we got a tow truck driver out there right now picking that sucker up, putting it on the back, bringing it back into my neighborhood. And then my buddy at Shady Grove Shell, the mechanic, is going to go through it and check it out and see how it looks. This morning I bought a battery for it for $134 at Advanced Auto. Took the old battery in, asked him to check it before I bought the new one. They hooked it up. It gave no reading at all, which means it's really, really dead. So I walked out with a new battery, went in, and before I got in the truck to come back here, I installed the battery, turned the key. The car fired right up. They said that the gas gauge doesn't work, but it was working when I was in the truck or in the SUV. So I'm going to assume there's something wrong with the gas gauge, and the check engine light is on, and it's been sitting for 4 years and had two flat tires. So this morning at Advanced Auto, I paid $28 to buy a portable air inflator, a really small thing, like smaller than the kind of lunch boxes you had when you were a kid. It would fit in one of those lunch boxes. It works off the cigarette lighter. So this little machine pumps up this big tire. And I put air in all four tires, but especially two of them. One of them was like flat. The other one was pretty flat. So we got the tires pumped up. We changed the battery. The car started right up. It's clean on the inside. It's not perfect, but it's pretty clean on the inside. It's just been sitting for 4 years. So nothing that sits for 4 years is spotless, right? But it's basically a clean car, SUV, 160,000 miles. I checked the value of it last night on KellyBlueBook.com, and these cars with that particular vehicle identification number it gave me a ballpark retail estimate of around $2,100 to $3,700. Ironically, there's a guy in our area who has a 2007 Chevy Trailblazer Super Sport that has leather interior with 111,000 miles on it. He's asking $14,000 for it. So if you call your buddies at the scrap metal yard, they'll go out, pick it up, put it on their trailer, bring it back, scrap metal it for you, and you'll walk off at about $400. In this case, I'm planning to walk off with a car, an SUV that might be worth, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 by the time I'm done. And I didn't have to pay a dime for it other than, you know, getting a battery for it and what I'm paying for a tow truck to, and I'm going to pay $100 to have it inspected. But that's pretty cheap to walk away with a car. So I've added another vehicle onto my car collection. About a month ago, I picked up my second motorcycle in this business, and it's in my storage unit right now. So I'm just kind of having fun and adding to my car collection. I do want to just give you a quick, speaking of car collections, a quick shout out. Another friend of mine, Bill Marriott, J. Willard Marriott Jr., the head of, former head of the Marriott Corporation, the largest hotel chain in the world, lives in Bethesda, Maryland. He happens to go to the church congregation that I go to, or at least did go to for a number of years. And then they asked me to go to a different one, but he's a good friend of mine. And we had a church activity about 5 years ago where Bill opened up his house to let a bunch of us from the congregation go over and see his car collection. Now, Bill Marriott loves cars, and he has one of the finest sports car collections in the world. He has somewhere around 20 of the most famous sports cars in the world on display, all registered, all able to go out on the road this afternoon if you wanted to take them out there. And he has them inside of basically a 25-car garage that is built onto the side of his home. And I don't know the name of the sports car driver in 1936 who was Adolf Hitler's main sports car driver, but Bill has his car in his collection. He has some of the most fascinating cars there. We were, you know, just shown all of them. They were terrific, and I just can't tell you what a cool guy he is to just open up his garage and let a bunch of us go in there and see his car collection. He has people that look for cars for him around the world, and it's just a fascinating thing to see. Anyway, I feel like I'm doing my own little car collection with these cars I get from hauling jobs where I end up with all kinds of things, and I'm starting to get to the point where I need a place to put them all. And I don't know where that's going to be. But in the meantime, I'm excited to add to it with my recent pickup happening as we speak of a 2007 Chevy Trailblazer LS Sport four-wheel drive SUV that is being towed as we speak from Centerville, Virginia, back to Montgomery County, Maryland, so they can inspect it. And if everything looks good, we'll get it registered and I'll have another car. And I got paid to take it, folks. That's the amazing thing about this business. Anyway, hats off to my buddy June, who is back in the truck, who just emptied the truck by himself. It's been great talking to you. Every once in a while we do a show, and life being what it is, you get it live with us in the truck while we're out doing work. But at least you can get a sense of what it's like to be a junk removal guy. And I'm telling you, every day is a treasure hunt, and it is kind of a fun thing to do, especially when they pay you to take their cars, like is happening today. Special thanks to Don, his brother Doug, who are our producers and do a great job and are terrific, and bbsradio.com/bbsradiotv.com, etc. they do a great job. We're proud to be on their network and proud to have a show here, and it's just a lot of fun. We'll be back next Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern with another episode of the Junk Refund Show. And call us anytime, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, if you have any questions about junk removal and how to get the junk out of your homes and also out of your lives. We've got ideas for you in both areas. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on the Junk Refund Show.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.